Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
You're just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle. Come on! Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, just after 7 a.m., Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you. If you missed Ryan Leaf, former Cube quarterback, he joined us at 6:30. Good stuff on both Gardner Minshew, Washington State's offense, and some Justin Herbert conversation as well. Also, little some we talked about as the Angels backed out of their stadium deal in Anaheim, and they're just using that for leverage. And Portland, don't be surprised if they are part of that leverage play here in the stadium recycling thing. So all of that discussed. If you miss any of the show, check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Coming up this hour, we'll hear coaches call audio, Herm Edwards and David Shaw talking about the college football playoff. Actually, some pretty good quotes from them. Mario Cristobal gives us an update to the status of his banged up offensive line, and Jonathan Smith previews their game against Cal this week. So a lot of good stuff. And very quiet and subdued Mike Leach, I must say, before a big game.
Telling me that he was patient, calculated,
Not
funny at all.
Must
mean it's a big game.
It is. It is a big game. And NBA,
every game is big.
That's right. NBA season gets underway. And have you seen the, docuseries, The 90s?
No. I haven't watched that one yet.
It's from CNN did it initially, but it's on Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the one actually yesterday on technology in the 1990s, and they brought up Microsoft, Bill Gates, and I was thinking about Paul Allen and stuff. And it was the interesting part is Paul Allen was only mentioned once in the entire, you know, half hour, basically all on Microsoft. But if you want to brighten up your Wednesday, if you're having, you know, those lulls in the week, do you remember the clip of the Today Show where Bryant Gumbel is utterly confused on what the internet is and how the internet works?
Yes,
do you
absolutely.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I watched that and listening to that today, you just sit there
it's
and you're
laughable.
Like, what?
I think it was Katie Couric who was trying to tell him and help him figure it out. He's like, I don't know.
What is the internet?
What is this internet?
What can you do on the internet? It just sit there and you go,
what can't you do on the internet?
Man, times are changing. And that'll pick up your Wednesday. I promise you, if you're having a bad Wednesday, just Google Bryant Gumbel Internet.
How about that?
And your day will be fixed. Right now, though, we got some sports to get to. It's 7:06.
What's hot?
Who can?
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
All right, Nick Bosa is leaving the Ohio State University. Nick Bosa announcing yesterday that due to his abdominal or core muscle injury, it's a groin ab kind of deal. He's just going to leave school. He withdrew from Ohio State and is going to focus on the NFL draft.
Yeah, his father went on the national media. We're talking about a 12-week rehab, which would put him back in mid-December, which would mean at that point,
point he'd be getting ready for the first round of the college football playoff if Ohio State was still in it at that point in time. And he'd play, I think, December 29th would be the first time he would play. And then if they did win that game, it'd be right back into it. Here's a young man that I think Mel Kiper has him on the big board as number one, number two pass rusher. He's an elite player. He's going to have a long career in the NFL. I don't disagree with this. I mean, it makes no sense that if you have an injury, it's going to take that long to repair. These could be years. If he damages it in December, sure, you want to be with your guys. Mm-hmm. I don't have problems with this at all. This is part of the leverage now of college football athlete.
Well, and just look at what Urban Meyer, who is a stickler on these things, he was like, yeah, it was a tough decision, but we understand it. His teammates all supported it as well.
Have to move on.
Yeah, and I don't think this is a panic in the streets, it's going to happen all the time situation. This is a very unique situation where the guy's going to be out for 3 months.
Mm-hmm. This is the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life.
Can my team stop cheating? You see the latest with the Astros?
Oh, I saw. Looks like all it has to do is just another gate. Some sort of gate. Some spy gating.
Another spy gate from one of my teams.
What's up with that? First, you have the guy from the Cardinals ends up trying to spy on you, who was a former...
He's in prison.
I get it. I know
he's
hacked.
In prison.
For some reason, there is a reason why you want to steal from Houston and go to prison is because they're doing something, because they're stealing anyway.
So here's the deal. Is that, I guess, in game one of the American League Championship Series, an Astros employee appeared to be shooting video from the photographer's pit adjacent to the Red Sox dugout.
Wow.
Yeah. What happened here in Major League Baseball is saying that they don't believe it is a big deal, but the employee was removed by Fenway Park security. The Astros are expected to be fined for it, but I guess the whole deal here is Cleveland said watch out for Houston, and so they were very
gave him a little tip,
very very high alert, I guess we should say. But yes, apparently my Astros are cheating.
So being an analytics team means you cheat, means you cheat to steal. Right. Stealing signs in baseball are okay. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Until you're using technology.
I think you're using technology. Spot on with that one, Buck, because you can't sit there. I can sit in there and look at them all day long. I can write them down, take charts, but you should not be allowed to use cameras. But
yeah, apparently with the Astros defense here, which I'm not buying. I'm an Astros fan. I'm not buying this.
Right,
is that they were taking photos of people that were spying on them. Oh, that's it.
Okay.
This coming from...
Okay.
Can I bring a little bit of my Homer out?
My enemy is my enemy's enemy.
The Red Sox were the team that used the Apple Watch, remember?
Yeah, I get it.
Remember the Apple Watch thing?
Yeah, technology.
You know what's funny, though, is this is eerily similar to, who was it, the Colts that tipped off the Ravens about the football for the Patriots? Yeah. Previous team to play them. This is just follows Dusty around.
I just have my favorite team not be accused of cheating?
That's what it takes to
just
win in this world. You have to cheat. Don't you get it?
If you're not cheating, you're not trying. And that's all I want. Just one damn time.
Is it gamesmanship to steal signs?
Sure. Yeah. Oh,
in
stealing
any way?
No. Not in any way. Not by any means.
Does it really matter?
Stealing signs. I mean, that's part of the game. Just do it on second base like normal
people. You could get those giant wind socks that you used to have versus Arizona State and block everything.
Todd Graham.
No. I think you know what we'll do? We're just going to put a microphone in the catcher's helmet.
Okay.
And everybody else gets a speaker,
like
quarterbacks do in the NFL. And you have to worry about just talking in there.
That's actually been suggested with all the advances in technology.
Don't you think that would just simplify everything?
You just have to give the catcher a microphone and the pitcher. The pitcher would have a two-way because he'd want to say which pitch it was. But
why not?
IFBs are very small and they're not uncomfortable. You can just get it molded to your ear, put it on in there.
No problems. I mean, all those Secret Service guys walk around, they're talking to their watch, Dick Tracy.
That's right.
Oh, hot.
Speaking of baseball, the league championship series came down to the wire in the NLCS as the Doyers beat the Brewers 2-1 thanks to Cody Bellinger's walk-off single in the 13th inning to beat the Brew Crew 2-1.
I have a serious issue with what the Dodgers are doing. They can't hit the baseball.
That would be a problem in baseball.
Did you see the amount of swing and miss and strikeouts they had last night?
17.
I went to sleep by the time it got to 17.
Well, let's not act like the Brewers weren't doing the same thing. They struck out 15 times.
I understand that, but the Dodgers are either home run or nothing.
Yeah. Of concern for the Brewers in this one, Gio Gonzalez took a liner off the ankle.
Ooh.
He had to leave after one inning.
Why'd he stick his leg out?
No, so you know what? He was trying to plant it and go for the liner off of Yasiel Puig, and he spun it on that.
Yeah, his ankle just kind of snap rolled over.
Not good. And he had to leave the game, which... It's amazing that the Brewers held on for that long, took it to 13 innings when your starting pitcher, one of your few guys that you can rely on as a starting pitcher, goes out in the first inning, but they do hold on, and the Dodgers end up evening that series at 2 games apiece with the win, Cody Bellinger's walk-off hit. Manny Machado, we'll have some audio played by him. Christian Yelich called him a dirty cheater for stepping on Aguilar, the first baseman's foot on the bag.
Didn't like that. Somebody might get some chin music.
Ooh. In the playoffs, even.
You think so?
We had the benches clear.
Well,
no, you're
really
not going to do that in the playoffs because everybody doesn't want to be suspended because every game matters. But
would Rob Manfred have the waivers to suspend somebody?
Oh boy.
So here's when it happens. If in an elimination game, if one team's up 7 or 8 runs, then that's when you're going to see
it. You can buzz the tower.
Because for one team, it won't matter anymore if they get suspended.
Hey, very quickly, cheap or not cheap?
Cheap.
Just from your first inclination to watch
cheap.
It.
Dirty
one of the
play.
Cheapest things I've ever seen
cheap.
In baseball.
And he's got a history of it, too.
No, but it was so that was different,
man.
It was
really blatant, though.
I know.
That's a late slide takeout of knee. This was, my foot was on the bag. It was on the front of the bag.
Yeah, and he went out of his way to run inside the baseline.
It was ridiculous. There must be history behind those two or something.
Ooh, we'll have audio of that later.
Good.
Okay.
It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot.
The NBA season tipped off yesterday. A doubleheader on TNT saw the Boston Celtics thump the 76ers 105-87. Of note in that game, Markel Fultz got a start. It did not go well. He went 2 of 7 from the field. 5 points at a plus minus of minus 16.
Yeah.
But what was good news is for the Celtics, Gordon Hayward played an entire game after mangling his lower body, and they had double digit scoring out of Gordon Hayward, who went for 10 points on 4 of 12 shooting. Jason Tatum picked up where he left off last year, 23 points.
Holy smokes, is that kid good?
Think about that starting lineup. Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford.
Okay, well, let's just do Celtics, Golden State. Fine, we'll just do it. Fast forward.
Yep. Sounds good to me.
In between the 82. Guess we'll just watch some basketball.
The Oklahoma City Thunder on pace to go 0-82 this year after falling to the Warriors 108-100.
No Westbrook.
Yeah, no Russell Westbrook.
Did you see him eating?
I saw him eating cheese. Was it cheese?
It looked like a piece of cheese.
I don't know. Protein? He was eating on the bench and trying to do it secretively, but you're Russell Westbrook.
Everybody's watching.
You got a camera on you at all times.
Like Mark Sanchez hot dog gate.
That was one of my favorite.
Is that obscure, though?
No.
Do you guys eat on the sidelines?
At football games?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So it was
for
obscure.
Backup quarterbacks do, because they don't do anything.
That's true. But he was a starter at the time. What if he gets mustard on his jersey?
No, if you're hungry, jersey?
I think
you're
they were wearing those weird mustard pants that day, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Oh, perfect. Wait, what?
The Jets were wearing throwbacks that game.
Oh, were they? They were the Titans.
Yeah, exactly.
The New York Titans.
Okay.
All right. That's what's hot and cool. Blazers get their season underway tomorrow, by the way. That's what's hot and cool on the Fan. Is brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Right now, Area has great discount offers on qualifying equipment from Train. Start saving today at areaheating.com. Hear from the coaches of the Pac-12. Mario Cristobal with an update to the status of Penei Sewell. Hear from Jonathan Smith as they get ready for a matchup with Justin Wilcox's Cal Golden Bears, and what David Shaw and Herm Edwards had to say about the future of college football. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. All right, Dusty and Cam in the morning with ya. Pac-12 coaches, they do it every other Tuesday now, which is just, talk about Mickey Mouse operation. Conference call for your coaches every other week?
Every other week
get
now,
get it out
huh?
there. Get it out there. We want to hear from them, man.
Uh-huh. Do you think the coaches really like that?
No, they hate it.
Oh, God, they hate it.
Who are we kidding?
Have you ever found a coach that enjoys the media? Once you're a coach. Now, once you're out of being coaching, have you ever found that coach that's just like, you know what? It's great to be here and talk to you guys. I really enjoy that.
I think Mike Leach makes the best of it. I'm sure there's a guy out there somewhere. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I think that was kind of what my biggest discrepancy is. I hated the media when I was as a player.
You hate the media still, and you're a member of it.
I'm not a member of the media. I'm an analyst.
No, you're not.
I'm not a media member. Mm-mm. Dang it! You're right.
You're a member of the media.
There, it's a love-hate relationship, because once you're on one side of the microphone, you go, oh, why aren't they more appealing to us? Why don't they come in and embrace that we're just trying to help them?
See, I'm not
they
a
don't
bad
think
guy.
Of it that way. They don't think that way. Well, you
okay,
never
so
do.
What is the thought process then?
The thought process is that all you're trying to do is get something for you. As a media member, you're trying to make yourself and your job look good.
Uh-huh.
And football coaches and football players are there to make their job look good. Well, you're distracting them from doing their job, which is play football. You don't sign up to become an athlete and say, I'm part of the media. You just want to go play your sport because you have only have so much time in the day. So when you get distracted or asked questions about what's wrong with you, you get defensive.
Oh, we got a couple of them that are coming in. Rex Ryan, that's why he's part of the media now. He always kind of liked that. Whole deal being up there in center of attention.
I think there's certain coaches that are transparent. Doesn't mean they like it.
John Calipari, yeah. He eats it up. And then maybe Steve Kerr. That's my own personal one.
You think he likes it?
Yeah, I do.
No, I mean genuinely enjoys the conversation with media people.
Yeah, because I think that Kerr enjoys it effing with people.
And Kerr was on that side for a really long time. He's been in the other chair, so I think he just totally accepts it.
Yeah.
This text, Chip Kelly.
You know what? Chip did have some fun with it back when he was really good at Oregon. Even though he didn't like it, he played around.
Strongly disagree on that.
You're very Homer on that one.
Now, Chip was phenomenal when he was a coordinator. And then the day he became a head coach,
whoop, there went the fence.
Turned it off. Like completely turned it off. He was looking for. Yeah, he was just waiting for that job to become the head coach, and once that happened, you know, there goes the fun. All right, so let's hear from the coaches of the Pac-12, from the Pac-12 coaches call. All right, first, let's start with the big matchup regionally. Ducks head up to Pullman, and yesterday, big news coming down as the University of Oregon announced Penei Sewell, the big 6'7", 340-pound offensive lineman, is going to be out with an ankle injury, high ankle sprain. Mario Cristobal, how long?
In terms of Penei and the injury, it's hard to tell. You know, he's got to heal up, and healing injuries versus rehabbing a guy back are so different because everyone heals differently. You know, he is a little bit of a freak of nature in terms of the way his body develops. So, you know, hopefully he'll heal sooner than later, but it's got to be about player safety first and player welfare first. And I feel terrible for him because I think you've seen him the way he practices and competes. I mean, this is his passion. I know he'll miss it a ton, but at the same time, he'll be a factor in the O-line room just serving as an extra coach.
All right, 4 to 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. What does your kind of gut tell you, high ankle sprain?
I've had a high ankle sprain. It is brutal. It feels like you broke your ankle. Essentially, that's really what it is. It's almost sometimes better than breaking your ankle. It's not. I mean, breaking your ankle is probably better.
Is it no good?
I mean, no, it's good. I mean, it's not good. It's bad.
Is it no
it's
good?
Very bad. 4 to 6 weeks is very optimistic. I would say 6 weeks. He's a big, big man. And the amount of weight and the amount of pressure and intensity he plays at, it doesn't make it any easier.
That's a big one. 340 pounds.
Big, big man.
Big ligaments to be rolling around on.
Yeah.
All right, who fills in?
We've got a couple of guys that are getting after it. Steven Jones and George Moore are getting after pretty good. You know, Capra has tackle experience as well, but we're using him inside. A guy that has really come on strong is Alex Forsythe as well. So we're mixing and matching the guys as best we can and seeing. It's just always having a, you know, for this past game, like every game, you always have a crisis plan. You hope you never have to use it, but we're just about at that point this last game. We're one injury away from it. So that being said, the guys, they've responded really well, and we expect them to respond, you know, this weekend as well.
How about that? Huh? Alex Forsythe plug, Westland Zone.
The connection here, mom works here. You get to see Alex. You get a chance to maybe get some time. Get your feet wet a little bit.
At practice yesterday, though, he mentioned all of the names except for the guy who was actually working with the first unit in practice yesterday, which was Brady Aiello, who came in. He moved over to right tackle. Calvin Throckmorton went from right tackle to left tackle in the game against Washington. But the thing to highlight there with Cristobal is that they have depth. They feel like they have depth with George Moore, Steven Jones, and Alex Forsythe now kind of moving around, and Jacob Copper as well. You don't want to get any more injuries, though, on the offensive line. Can't afford to do it.
No.
Mike Leach, the opponent this week, he discussed Mario Cristobal and the kind of the Smash Mouth version of Oregon, are they different from what they were the last couple of years? Answer may surprise you.
Well, they're actually kind of similar. they don't do the hurry up stuff as much. And part of that is I think everybody else started doing it and then people caught up to it and, you know, the newness of it wore off, but they will do some tempo. They don't run the quarterback quite as much. He throws more than some of their others have. You know, but they're similar type of athletes. You know, they've a lot of team speed out there for them. They, you know, they have a lot of team speed flashing around there.
I don't know about you, but this looks like a completely different Oregon style of team to me.
I think he means everything is the same except for they don't run tempo, they don't run the quarterback, they throw more, they're more downhill, their defense is more attacking, they're more violent on defense.
They still look
but
fast,
but they're
though.
pretty much the
they
same
They still
team.
Play football. They're the same.
They still have 11 guys on each side of the ball.
Yeah, if I was telling you what I think Oregon looks like, I would say it is the polar opposite from what you've ever seen from Oregon football.
On the other side of the state, we've got Oregon State hosting Cal this weekend, and Jonathan Smith commented on what may be the best thing to happen to Oregon State football in quite some time. What they're going to be wearing this year, or this week.
I think it's fun and exciting. I know a bunch of our former alums in the university itself take some pride in the old Benny, and I think it's a good look, and we're excited about it.
Benny the Beaver's
Benny
coming
the
back!
Benny the Beaver's coming back. I did see this. I think Sprague said, get rid of the bad beaver and put this beaver back in play at all times. Benny the Beaver.
Love the old school looks.
The old school's coming back.
Yeah.
Way better than Sleek Beaver.
Is that what it's called?
No. No, but it should
be. It was Nike Beaver?
Angry Beaver. It's called the Re-Beave.
That was a terrible beaver. Well, it's kind of like what they did with the
ever eaten beaver?
It's kind of like what they did with that stupid weasel Washington. The upside down swoosh.
Oh, that weird one that they went with for a while. Yeah, that is true. All right, what about the California Golden Bears who are coming up?
I think they're really sound on defense. You know, they're physical on defense and sound. And I think what also concerns you is that offensively, now that they're getting into playing, the quarterback especially has played a couple of games, is like he will improve. And so we know that it's going to be a challenge there from the defensive side, and they're not that far away offensively to breaking out.
They were held to 7 points by UCLA this past weekend.
That sounds pretty far, Coach, from breaking out. Am I just reading that? There was a love-in there.
I think it was a little bit of a love-in. But Brandon McIlwain, he looked pretty good against Oregon, you know, in that game down in Berkeley.
Okay.
They do have their warts, though. And just as, you know, the Cal offense has its warts, so does Oregon State's defense.
We thought Arizona was going to be this crap team. Now they came out and put a hammer down on it. And we thought Cal was going to be good to start. And then they kind of settled in. And this is the Pac-12.
Justin Wilcox on the Beavs D.
They have gotten better. And you see what they're trying to do. And I know their defensive coordinator well. I worked with him at Wisconsin. He's an excellent coach. And they're learning new system, and you see them get better each week. So absolutely, they're improving, and they have good schemes, and I know it'll be another challenge for our offense.
Justin Wilcox sees improvement, and it has been hard to find, though, at times with Oregon State's defense.
Sure is.
They're going to need to come up in a big way because this quarterback can run, and the D-line is going to be the utmost importance.
Well, they're putting up points, and defense is giving up points. That's kind of a problem, but the offense is getting better. You have to grade yourself this way. As you move through your conference play and towards the end of the season, are you an improving team? Are you doing the little things? You can see a little bit of a light. You can see a little more aggression. Offensively, I think Oregon State is moving very well. Defense needs to catch up.
Those are the coaches in the local games. Hear from David Shaw and Herm Edwards. They had some bold statements on the state of the Pac-12 and the college football landscape. Right now it's Buck with SportsCenter.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
What a great song. I love Lowrider.
You love the movie Gone in 60 Seconds then, don't you?
What was the name that he...
Nicolas Cage.
What was the name of his car?
Eleanor.
Eleanor.
67 GT.
I thought that was a terrible
67
name. 67
GT 500.
What a great car. Shelby, yeah.
GT Shelby.
Yeah. No, I like Dazed and Confused better.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Was the guy's
name? Event with me.
Howard Ledbetter. Isn't that the guy who made that movie?
Don't know.
Maybe. Okay. I love that movie. I just don't know who made it.
It gave us Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. Mm-hmm.
His first three words he ever said in film.
We're all right, all right, all right.
I believe so.
Better movie.
That's how he started his Oscar acceptance speech.
I was more of a fan. I thought his coming out party was EdTV. I don't know about you guys.
EdTV, where he drives a Zamboni.
How was that not the best? That was the Matthew McConaughey coming out party, in my mind.
Sure.
He's sitting around and Ellen DeGeneres is on it and he's clipping his toenails.
You know, that was
the beginning of when we saw, the Real World. Real World was good. Don't get me started on Real World, but I'm a huge Real World fan. Early 90s, or 90s all through the 2000s. But that was it, EdTV.
You know, that is something that is incredible. It's like that's kind of a cutting edge movie when you think about it, because that was at the beginning of reality TV. Nobody knew how important it would be. Now it's like
standard normal television.
Right?
We don't even think sitcoms are part of our... We're never like, did you get a reality TV with a Ball family and everybody gets a reality to the flipping Kardashians?
No, we're one step away from the Truman Show becoming real life, where a person's life is documented from birth all the way up and everything is scripted.
Mm. Scripted, difficult.
In their life.
Documented, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's just Sean Jackson.
That's every...
Did you know that?
That's Northwest.
His brother, DeSean Jackson's brother, has been making a documentary about his life since he was a child.
How does he have that kind of money?
Well, it's just a camcorder.
Oh, he's doing it.
Yeah, his brother has been making a documentary about his...
Oh, okay.
I would guess also maybe DeSean is helping fund it with some of his money.
Well, now, but he was making it in college, too. Mm. Oh. Followed him around, traveled to every game and all that stuff.
I miss Behind the Music. That's what I miss.
I do, too. Okay, anyway. Let's get back to the coach's audio.
Yeah.
Buck, do we have the ESPN music for us as he's now scrambling to try and find it? But we were talking earlier about the kind of leveling of the playing field in college sports, in college football landscape especially. Well, and in the Pac-12 specifically, and in doing so, it was actually brought up on the Pac-12 coaches call this week, and the Pac-12 officiating was something that was asked to David Shaw, right?
Mm-hmm.
The big kerfluffle there. Here's what David Shaw had to say about the officials in the Pac-12 and the big fiasco of an executive actually coming in and chiming in on an actual on-field call.
I'm a football coach. Calls go for you, calls go against you. I don't care who's making the decisions. It doesn't matter. You know, you'd love for the processes to be as consistent as possible. I also know all the people involved, and there's no intent on influencing the decisions in a football game. Things happen. People make mistakes. As football coaches and football teams, hey, when something goes against you, that's not going to be a reason why you lose or win. It's what you do the rest of the game that matters.
Well, I don't know. That's the he Stanforded that.
He certainly did. What's the coach speak on that one, translator?
Because he went from, I'm just a football coach, I don't care. But then he kind of slid in, I want the most consistency as possible. Having an executive call in on a bat phone and be like, nah, that's not targeting. That's the opposite of consistency.
That's smart. It was a good, smart answer. That was a Stanford answer.
He Stanforded that thing.
That's a new term. I think I just created a new term.
What?
I Stanforded it.
You didn't say it. I said it.
No, I just created my own term. Stanforded it. God, you're trying to take my thunder. Stanforded
it.
You
said before you.
You said Stanforded it. You getting it?
I Stanforded it.
Stanforded it. Go back, Buck.
Check the tape.
He's trying to claim he claims this.
So wait, we're not trying to claim Stanford it, but Stanforded it?
Yes, yeah. That's what I'm trying
he
to
Stanforded
claim.
It.
Stanforded it.
Yeah.
Go I back, feel check like the folks tape. At Stanford would not approve of that that's sort my of point. Figure speech.
They wouldn't enjoy this entire show then.
A very Stanford answer,
here's,
but Stanforded it.
Here's David Shaw on the college football playoff. And maybe this being a fix to the scheduling woes and consistency across college football.
I think devalued is the wrong word. I think we emphasize it so much, and it's it's really hard to get there, which is what you want to a certain degree, but it's also the reason why I say there should be more than four teams. The number's too small, and the sample size that we have, every year that we've had the playoff, I think we've had the right teams in it, and every year there are other teams that have legitimate concerns about why they were left out. Now, I think the teams that were left out, I would have done this exact same thing every single year. But for me, I would love to see a way to add at least two teams to this mix, if not four, and have what I think is a true playoff where we're really getting the best. And you can always say there can be more than eight. I think eight is a better number because I'd rather have two teams that are borderline getting in, get in, than someone who's got a legitimate team who's one game out or a couple percentage points out that honestly could get in the playoff and win it.
Two to four more. Then you don't have to worry about scheduling, right?
Sure.
What?
Sure.
Why do you look upset over there?
Sure. It's just, you know, it's frustrating because every time I hear this, I know the smart guys are in the room and I know the conference that hears and tells us. And the only reason that we as coaches and get to see it and conference will tell you we're doing everything we can to try to help. But then if you're not getting in, you're going to sit there and you're going to just shout it from the mountaintops every single chance you get. Like what Coach Shaw says, it's not enough. It's not enough. But if you're not good enough in the conference and you can't sit there and shout it, you can beg for it. And Stanford's been on the back end of it. They've missed out a couple times when they would have been a great team to be in. You're just not good enough.
Well, they're the epitome of it's not how you start, it's how you finish. They finish so strong over the course of the year.
The value of a conference title is meaningless in college football.
Herm Edwards on whether or not the college football playoff is devaluing bowl games.
All sports are about promoting themselves, and the college football has done a phenomenal job. I mean, really, on Saturday, you know, people are tuned in to college football, and there's a reason for that. I mean, they've done an excellent job of really creating this Final Four thing, you know, which is similar to basketball. I get it. I believe it's not going to be four. It's probably going to open up an even a little bit more because people want to see this. You know, they want to see teams in this final competition of these are the best 6, 8, 10 teams, whatever it may be. I just think when you do that with all the other bowls that are, I mean, there's a lot of nice bowls out there that teams are going to participate in. Those get overlooked. It's just these final, you know, four teams or whatever it may be, and that's like, that's it. And if you're not one of those teams, and to be quite frank, there's a lot of colleges that probably have no chance to get there. Right? I mean, it's just, that's the way it is. And so you could have a great season. You could win 10 games. You might have an undefeated season. But if you're not in one of those teams, you know, that they look at, that says, we look at your schedule and all those other things, you're not going to go to those bowl games.
You know, we were talking about this earlier. That, to me, is exactly what the Rose Bowl has become, kind of, to the Pac-12.
Unless you're in the rotation, until the college football decides, or college football playoff committee and the powers that be decide to make the conferences more of an importance. Can you imagine the feeling if you're in Arizona State and you're Herm Edwards and you could have three losses and still get into the conference championship game and still get in? It brings fan bases together. It makes teams feel like you have a chance. We see it in the NFL. You could have 4 or 5 losses. You can go 9-7, for gosh sakes, and win the Super Bowl. The Giants have done it. It keeps you engaged, yet we want to pretend that the 1 and the 0 are the most important thing. 1 means 1 loss. 0 is everything in college football and when it comes to losing. And it's not enough. We need more.
We do. All right, 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Let's go off the rails. What in the world did the Warriors give out yet last night? Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, the Golden State Warriors barely won last night. They beat the, what are they called? Oklahoma City Thunder, 108-100. But it was the ring ceremony. It was ring night at Oracle. And the Warriors sure did give out something different. We are saying you have to be different when you're giving out your third ring, right? And you were saying you wanted pinky ring, which I thought was a phenomenal idea. A pinky ring is a great idea to if you're at this point that the Warriors are at. They went further against the grain than that. They became the first team to give out a reversible championship ring, which I had no idea was even possible to do. So what happens is you can take off, you twist off the top of the ring, and then you can flip it out and turn it over. But there's a little cavity underneath the ring where I'm going to be quite honest here. It looks like they're going to be hiding their drugs in the middle of their ring there. There's a small cavity that you can hold stuff in. Like, what is the point of having that space there?
Y'all want to buy some drugs?
Well, you tell me they're going to grow out their pinky nail so they can have their spot where they can dip it in there?
It does.
Well, you're so 1985 there. I don't know. I mean, it looked like it was going to fall off, first of all. Be innovative. Okay, that's fine. It's just a ring, championship ring. Another opportunity for the Golden State to walk around with three, go big three. I saw a couple reports, I think it was the Big Lead, that said that they were trolling the Cavs with that reversible ability to be able to change it back and forth. I didn't get the connection, but sure, okay, troll. Do what you need to do, Golden State.
What would the troll
buy
job
yourself
be, Buck?
Another championship?
What? How does that troll
I don't
them?
Understand how that. I mean, I'm sure if I did some diving into the internet here, I could find out. But I don't really know what the significance of having the ring be reversible would be to the Cavaliers. I don't know that.
Well, I guess I saw the same thing too. I saw like the tweets came of this is a in your face to the Cavaliers. But I get it. It's back to back, right?
No, that's what
it's the back-to-back thing. Is that
that's it? What it is?
Yeah, it'd have to be that.
Yeah,
that's the only thing
we
I can
did
think
this
of
to you, not once but twice.
Boop, boop.
So we can flip it on you.
Back to back.
I don't know if you guys actually got to watch the video of the original. I don't know who it was. They just showed his hand trying to put it back on. He couldn't even get it screwed on right. It was gonna fall off.
Yeah, this is gonna be a big.
Who wears these things around? Can we ask that?
Nick Young. I bet Swaggy P does that.
Yeah.
Swaggy P, like, he seems like a guy who'd wear his championship ring everywhere.
I think you get two is what you do. Is you get the one, you get your wear around one, then you get you one you put in the safety deposit box.
Yeah.
I don't know if that works that way.
Because
I don't have one.
Yeah, this texture says it looks like a grinder, too. At least that's what my, quote, friend told me.
A grinder.
A weed grinder.
Simplify it.
A little weed grinder.
Yeah. Take it down a little bit.
You can hide your blow in there. It also looks like a bottle opener when you open it. I mean, that's why this is the Swiss Army knife of championship rings. I'm convinced of it.
Realistically, I don't care what it looks like. If you have one, it's flipping awesome. You got a championship ring. You got a championship ring.
Well, you just said it. Who wears those things around?
I don't know.
If you won one, wouldn't you?
Every day? No, I don't like jewelry, but I'll tell you what. If I had that thing, I'd probably wear it every day for a year just so I could say I'm a champ.
Right?
Just have We Are the Champions playing behind me in my boom box.
So I've done a little research.
My God, I'm kind of happy you didn't win a championship because that would be
all
overbearing.
Every day.
Apparently, the sides of the ring and bottom are brushed with it's got a brushed, bristled texture that is supposed to represent the sweep of the Cavaliers in the finals.
Look at that, a little troll.
That's
the ultimate troll job.
Now that is more than just a little troll.
God, we've got
that is a
that
troll
makes me
job.
Hate Golden State even more now. Fine, you've crossed over to the ultimate hate world.
So the Cavaliers in their rings, when they overcame the 3-1 lead,
good
the bottom
Lord.
Of them had diamonds signifying they had like clear ones for Golden State wins and red ones for Cavalier wins, so you could see which games were won by the Cavs in the 3-1 comeback.
Is that a troll or is that just part of the history?
Yeah.
That
well,
one's
is
part
the
of the
sweep
history.
A troll or just part of the history?
No, the sweep
is
a troll.
Troll. Stop it, you apologist.
Buck, don't even stop.
Don't
hey,
even
just
start.
Devil's advocate over here.
You know,
we have
a former sales bro that was here, and he's moved on, but I on Facebook yesterday, he just started the season, he brought up, he goes, look, Warriors are going to win the championship again.
Surrounded by obnoxious championship holders.
Well, and
you and your Houstons and you and your Golden Staters.
Well, I'm not. Oh, Buck, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, they're the old sales bro. I was sitting there, I was looking at it going, you know what? He was getting so much hate from everybody here in Portland. Like, you know, but I said, do it while you can. Because
really?
if you are a fan of a team,
yeah, sure, do what you need to do.
Where
yeah,
it
that's
is,
fine.
You know, it's going away.
Yeah.
And you're not the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like if a Yankee fan were to do that, you'd be like, dude, shut up, you're the Yankees.
Yeah.
But at some
that's
point,
what Golden State is now.
Well, no, they're
the
not.
Yankees of basketball.
But they had a historically.
The Yankees have 27 championships. Yeah. The Warriors have 5.
They were historically a dumpster fire of a franchise.
You say that like it's, oh, the Warriors have five.
Well, no, what, but I'm
but,
saying,
I mean, come on.
No, I'm not saying they're not awesome right now. They definitely are, but they're not the Yankees in that they don't have a rich history just littered with championships.
Yeah, we're talking about living in the moment. What my moment is that seeing at a dominant franchise that's taking over. That's what Golden State is. I mean,
and
dominant
that's true, but
franchise.
It's fleeting now, whereas the Yankees sustained for decades.
Fleeting? You're the best team in the
but
NBA.
You know it won't be sustainable.
When will it be fleeting?
You know, when
this summer, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green are free agents.
Pour me and cry me a river.
But that's the thing is that that's why you own it while you can. And I told him, I was like, dude, you own that and just say it while you can, because when it goes away, this run will never come back. Just know that everybody in the world that is not a Warriors fan thinks that you are a complete D-bag for doing this. But as a fan, go ahead and own it, because it's not going to be there forever. You're not always going to be this dominant. You know, and how
that's basketball. You're not going to have a longevity. But you could say that about a Lakers fan. If Lakers come back and win, maybe they're the franchise. So it's the Lakers. Well, but the Celtics have just as many championships. Are the Celtics the ones you don't want to have that?
The Lakers and the Celtics can't do what Warriors fan can do now, because they have history, tradition.
It's the entitled obnoxiousness is what Golden State is done. Oh, well, that's how they carry themselves. It's just that Bay Area new money. It's the new money mentality. See, the Celtics, Lakers, and the tradition of the Yankees is old money. And I guess that's how I would look at it, is Golden State is just new money. Look what we found. We just rolled into some championships because we're really, really, really good.
Own it while you can, because it won't be like this forever.
You can hint my jealousy.
It won't be like this forever.
You guys got supportive rings. I have nothing. I just want a Mariners. Okay. That's it. It's all.
Just get a Mariners.
If I was ranking my teams, I'd be like, come on, Mariners, just someday.
A baseball championship.
I take it over anything.
Feels so much over like anything. Better. I don't know why.
Over anything.
Yeah.
Because it's the longest sport. It takes forever. Like 5,000 games you have to play.
And you have to be a really complete team to do it.
Oh.
I mean, it's a tough deal.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Warriors, they
championship jealousy.
Reversible championship rings, which is quite a deal.
Would you be reversing it in the middle of the day? It's kind of like, oh my gosh, boomerang.
At noon,
you
flip
coordinate.
It.
You get to reverse it. I can't say the rest of it.
No, please don't.
I can't. We don't have a dump. Don't. We don't have a dump button.
Please.
Great
don't.
Movie.
Boomerang
unbelievably
is a phenomenal
great. Marcus Darling. Lady Eloise. Lady Eloise.
All right. Every Wednesday at 8 a.m. we do it. It's time for the Nugs on the Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.